Hey, this is Ryan Rogers, and I'm the pastor at the Palmer Seventh-day Adventist Church. I hope that this message gives you a glimpse of how beautiful our God is.
Joy. It's a very, very small word, joy. But it is probably one of the most vital things that we need in life is joy. There is no question why joy is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. True joy comes from God, and the effects of joy are acts of His Holy Spirit. We have members in our church right now who are sharing this gift of joy. They cannot even help but exude the happiness and the energy that joy has given them. In the midst of all that is going on in their lives, they found joy, and it has grown. And now, they're reaching out to others, trying to see the needs of those around them and to help them. This is what joy does. This is what I found. It's contagious. It's energizing. It's healing. It's motivating. And it's comforting. Doesn't that sound like the gifts of the Holy Spirit? But there is something that challenges our joy, and that is difficulties or situations. And I think we can all relate to that. That's called living here on this earth. For several years, I have allowed stress and worry, concern and confusion over situations slowly take over every single aspect of my life. About a year and a half ago, I started to realize what was really happening. My 9-year-old son, almost every day, sometimes several times a day, would look at me and say, "Mommy, smile." I, of course, would smile because I love him. But inside, I could feel my heart hardening. I was losing my joy. So, when Pastor Ryan asked if I would participate in a prayer journey for this month of December, I immediately said yes, and I was eager to start. I was going to take this opportunity, and I was going to pray earnestly. I was going to pray intently. I was going to fast and pray. I was going to pray without ceasing. My goal was I was going to move the hand of God, and my situation and the challenges I was facing, they were going to change. But they didn't. Instead, God brought me joy, something even better. So I focused on the prayer of Habakkuk. And if you're familiar with Habakkuk, or you go home today and you read the book of Habakkuk, it's very short, 3 chapters. It's not really, your first 2 chapters, they're not really, let's sit down and read this for our nice, warm, cozy family worship time. It is actually a pretty ugly scene in those first 2 chapters of Habakkuk. So I needed a little bit of context, and I reached out to a university professor that I know well who teaches Old Testament. And here is a little bit of background that I thought you might appreciate about Habakkuk. At the time that the book of Habakkuk was written, Habakkuk had prayed for Judah, for God's people. And he was saying, "God, we have fallen from you. Do something to wake us up. Do something to bring your people back to you so you can deliver us from the hands of the Babylonians." So Habakkuk starts with a prayer. He starts with a question to God, and he says, "God, why are you punishing your people with the Babylonians who have replaced you with all these other gods, who've replaced you with wickedness beyond even what we have fallen? That doesn't make sense. Haven't we found? Sometimes we pray to God And we're praying and praying and praying, and the situation gets even worse. And we ask that all-famous question, why? What are you doing, God? This is backwards. So God does respond to Habakkuk. He gives him a vision. And Habakkuk responds, and he describes this vision. And he uses a very specific language when he describes what God showed him. And I'll quote here. Much of the language is based upon God as a divine warrior, the Lord of hosts, Yahweh Tsevaot, who is the general of the heavenly armies. The divine warrior is often talked about in cosmic terms. So God is coming, and he's not fighting a battle between him and man and wickedness. He's fighting large cosmic terms. The divine warrior is often talked about in cosmic terms, with chaos in the heavens and earth, earthquakes, floods, storms, plagues, suffering, persecution. And when the battles occur, what does God tell his people? Be still and know that I am God. So I continued to read through Habakkuk, and I thought, okay, well, what's Habakkuk's response? God showed him this vision. God showed him justice was going to happen. God showed him that deliverance was going to happen. And so what happened? Did Habakkuk think, okay, tomorrow morning I'm going to wake up and God's deliverance is going to be here? That's what's going to happen. But do you know what Habakkuk's response was? Because that's what I would expect. I've prayed earnestly. I'm going to see some things happen. Habakkuk's response said, it was one of humility, I will be patient and wait. So what do we do when we're waiting? What do I do when I'm waiting? I get frustrated. I get grouchy. I start to blame others. I start to find excuses. What am I doing while I'm waiting? But Habakkuk just doesn't stop by being patient. He continues on, and this is what really hit home amidst all of this, and this is what Ayana read. Habakkuk says, I will still be joyful and sing. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be glad that God is my Savior. So with this ugly picture that's going on, Habakkuk can end rejoicing and being joyful. So does that mean that I can also have joy? Well, how did Habakkuk get it? What was the one thing in the book of Habakkuk that he did to receive this joy? What is Habakkuk doing through this whole book? He's praying. He's talking to God. He's asking God questions. God's talking to him. He's praying. He's talking to God. By praying, we acknowledge God is our help. We're making this statement when we pray that we trust God. If we didn't trust him, then why would we claim his promises? Why would we even pray to him at all if we didn't trust him? Have you ever found that you've gotten on your knees and you pray and you finish and you say, wow, nothing around me has changed, but I feel better. God is giving us joy. So through prayer, we receive joy. You might say, okay, Steph, that leaves me with a good feeling that motivates me to want to be on my knees and pray. But what does joy really, truly look like? Is it just being happy? Because I can find experiences, I can find things that can make me really happy. And if I just had enough time, if I just planned that schedule just right, I know I'm going to feel really, really happy. And I know that will bring me joy. Well, I was blessed to receive a book called The Book of Joy. And in it, they listed 8 pillars. And as I read through them, I thought, this really applies. And this actually... I went on this prayer journey through December, and after the 4 weeks, I had come to the conclusion that it was joy that I was missing. And then I happened to read this part in the book, and I thought, this just really sealed my understanding. When we have joy, perspective, the way we view where we're at changes. You can now see it from many different angles, not just the one obsessed, narrowed, focused angle. Humility. I will be still and I will trust you, God. Humor. I can find things now that I can laugh at. Acceptance. I am content with where I'm at. Forgiveness. This one was kind of a big one for me. Letting go of our past selfish responses and knowing I can move forward with God's grace. Gratitude. I can find things that I am thankful for and I can praise God for them. Compassion. Instead of being so absorbed by my situation, this was another big one for me. Instead of being so absorbed by my situation, I can start to see what others are going through, and I can have concern for them. And generosity, I now want to act on my compassion, and I want to help those who are in need around me. So I look at these outcomes and I say, joy. This is the outcome of joy. This is the Holy Spirit at work. I find I'm now smiling before Darian asked me to. I'm finding funny things to laugh at. I'm seeing the sparks of my joy reflecting in the eyes of my family members. And I am very, very thankful for that. We're going to have a time of prayer. And I wanted to start the time of prayer off with a short prayer I put on a card, so that when I started to feel the situations and the chaos and the stress swirling around me, instead of focusing on that, I wanted that card to remind me, pray this prayer to keep the joy renewed. So Amy will play for a little bit, and when she's finished, we'll close the prayer. But what I'd like to do is start with this prayer. And then if there is anything else you want to bring to God, if you want to ask God for joy, there will be verses, I think, up on the screen that were read. If you want to claim those promises, then we'll take a moment, just as our congregation here and those of you online, to pray this prayer. So if you'll bow your heads with me. Dear God, please send us joy. Help us to see our situations differently and give us the peace that passes all understanding. Lord, we want to claim the promise in Habakkuk 19. The Lord is my strength, whom shall I fear? The Lord is my light, of whom shall I be afraid? Thank you. dear God, remind us as much as possible. When life starts swirling around us, that we call out to you for life and for joy. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from the Palmer Seventh-day Adventist Church. Find us online at palmerak.adventistchurch.org and at pastorryanrogers.com.